Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of the Comic Book Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Reiner, today joined by the indomitable Kyle Federline. Hello, sir.
Hey, that is me. This is super, super awesome.
I think people will be excited by what we're doing here. It's a little different. We are not, both of us collectively, comic book experts by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a big fan of them. I've been reading them since I was a child. I've gone every Wednesday for as long as I can remember, maybe since I was 16, since I had a car. On the other hand, you don't really know much about comic books. And I think that speaks to the larger audience, actually, of people out there that maybe have first been exposed to them through the Marvel Cinematic Universe on the silver screen or the DC animated shows. And they've always wanted to get into comic books, but felt like there's a barrier there. They go to the comic shop and they see issue 86 and it's part four of a epic series and they don't know where to jump in. We're going to kind of provide that voice, hopefully. I'm very much in that camp. You can't read everything. There's way too much stuff out there, but we've selected each week. We're going to review 5 to 6 different books and let you know if you should invest in them or not. These are going to be books that you can immediately jump into. So issue ones or the beginning of a new series. I'll also provide some of the updates on the longer running series so people can kind of know what's going on. And then we're going to transition to what's coming the next week. So if you want to read along with us, you can do that. And we'll give you a list of, again, 5 to 6 comic books that you can pick up at your local comic book shop. And then we're also just going to have free-form topics ranging from interviews with some of the comic book creators. We'll talk to them about their process, the books they've written, all that stuff. And then also just discussing other things in the comic world at large. Like this episode, we'll go into the what we want to see next from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So you can comment with us. We'd love for you to leave us emails. What is the email, Kyle?
The email is thecomicbookpod@gmail.com.
We thought putting cast on there was a little too much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too much typing.
Now I'm starting to second guess everything.
But let's kick off the show with our first review here. Let's go into, this is a couple weeks ago, and so this isn't the first episode we're not doing weekly because we don't know exactly when this is going to hit iTunes and stuff like that. So we got to kind of pace ourselves a little bit, but once this first episode is posted, it will hopefully be weekly after that, if we like what we're doing, or we might be too scared and just never come back again. But we're going to start with the first issue of the new Thor series, which just hit, and we'll kind of dissect this thing, go through it beat by beat, and let you know if you should pick it up or not. This is written by Donny Cates with art from Nick Klein. This is a Marvel book. Again, it's Thor number one. It picks up after War of the Realms, this big epic that Marvel did. But it also serves the purpose of like a fresh start. And Donny Cates wastes no time going into that. He kind of touches on what happened in War of the Realms with Thor being king and sitting at the throne. Not the throne you'd expect, Loki being there. There's a little bit of political chatter, and then kind of all hell breaks loose. And we don't want to spoil anything, by the way. We will not give away any kind of spoilers in these reviews. Obviously, there's only 22 pages or sometimes 40 pages in a comic book, but we don't want to give away too much. So, Kyle, what did you think of the issue overall?
This is probably one of the first comics that I have recently read, and going into it, just the cover itself lets you know that you're kind of in for a ride.
Yeah, the cover is a bit of a spoiler. There's variant covers and stuff like that. The cover I have is a huge spoiler. It's one of the variants. I thought it was very cool. But I hate that when comics will like give away a big reveal. And this one does it on page one or on the cover, yet it's actually the last page of the book that I'm looking at. The story is called The Devourer King. And part one is called The Black Winter. So the second issue will be coming out next month. And I thought the artwork was stunning right away. You see him trying some kind of clever things with putting a rainbow behind Thor's hammer. There's a bit of fun play, kind of roping in the Avengers for a moment. And it's very playful, but things turned very dark in a huge, unexpected way. I won't reveal what that is. but it is a shocking moment. And that moment alone, I thought would just be all there is to this, right? I thought that we would kind of move on with him being right. in charge of the kingdom and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't stop there. And it kind of sets the tone for this series going in places that I didn't expect. And since it is from Donny Cates, he has kind of been given free rein over the Marvel universe for Marvel. And you see this every once in a while. There will be writers like Brian Michael Bendis or Jonathan Hickman right now with X-Men. Marvel's very much just said, do your thing there. And he's done that in a big, amazing way with House of X and Powers of X giving way to these big series. But Donnie's been kind of planting the seed about this threat coming from deep space that's going to end all life. That kind of rolled into his Venom series, which we'll talk about next, but was a part of a big epic called Absolute Carnage. And now we see that going even further into the universe with Thor and his realm. So I definitely think there's going to be some kind of huge event, whether it's this year or next. Sometimes these writers will put together arcs that will last for 6 years, you know, before they finally hit the finale. But we'll see where it goes next month, if it is going to be something that's going to stick around for a while, or if this big change. And I mean, it's a huge, huge, huge switch in terms of the character of Thor. Like, he's definitely redefined him in, I think, a very cool way that fits with the history of the Marvel Universe. What did you think of his new persona?
So this comic started out strong, and I think it ended even stronger. From the artwork, to the dialogue, to the action, I really didn't want to put this thing down. As far as Thor's persona goes, I'm not super familiar with him in the comics, but more so in the movies. While he has a good sense of humor, he is this brute of a hero, and we see this from the very beginning of this issue to the end, where we really see a new side of him. I've got to say, man, this issue right here was a very strong start to our comics this week.
I totally agree with you. That was my favorite comic that I've read in over, I would even say, these last 2 weeks. And I know some people will call it a reboot. There is some kind of pieces of it that I would say that maybe will lead to that in a whole new take for Thor, but it is very much picking up the pieces that were there before. It isn't like undoing anything that's been done by these other writers over the last few years. I think it's a very clever and interesting angle to take for this iconic character, very much like Hickman's done with X-Men, where he's completely reinvented it, yet it's all built up on the history of these characters. So I'm going to give this one a 9.25 out of 10. I'll just quickly go into our scoring here. It's the academic scale. So that's a nice solid A for Cates' his first Thor issue, and Klein. The art is superb. And then, you know, B would be good. C is kind of our average. So that would be a 7. And then we would have 6 being barely passing, and then anything below that is a failure. So what did you think, Kyle?
That's very close to what I was going to give it. I am going to give it a 9.
Flat 9.
Solid
okay.
9. Yep.
All right, now let's talk about Venom. This is 2 months worth of books that we're taking a look at here, starting with this new story arc called Venom Island from, again, Donny Cates, this time with legendary comic artist Mark Bagley, who had a long run on old Spider-Man books, Amazing Spider-Man. His art is fantastic. Again, even in Venom, he kind of has a different flavor to it. It's filled with fire and kind of old Vietnam type of vibes. As the name of the book suggests, Venom is literally out on an island dealing with inner demons following Absolute Carnage. That was a big event that just took place over the last few months, where Eddie Brock, he's not dealing with just one symbiote right now. He took down Carnage, he took down Cletus, and he's kind of dealing with these ghosts. So he's on this island trying to take care of business. And Kyle, what'd you think of that?
I don't want to sound too harsh, but out of the comics that we've read this week, I felt that this may have been the weakest one
okay.
that I've read.
I will say this. I will add this on top of it, that it mm-hmm. is the weakest Donny Cates story I have read of all of them, from 2019 to 2020. I've loved his work on Venom. I thought Absolute Carnage was a blast. It was very clever how he rounded up all the symbiotes, all the characters that had him. Mm-hmm. But this is, it's got a nice pulpy feel to it. I know what he's going for, you know, man versus wild, but it's just not clicking for me either.
No. Yeah, I felt like the conflict between Eddie and what was going on with inside of him, I didn't really care for. It didn't capture my attention the way that the other comics did this week. I mean, there were some cool parts in it. There was some fun dialogue and the different characters that he ran into within the comic. But as far as that goes, I don't really care if I read the next issue.
Yeah, I was more excited when I saw his son, Dylan, appear, because there's actually interesting things developing there. This kid has the weight of the world on his shoulders now, and he's dealing with some really dark secrets, and he's having some terrible dreams about premonitions, maybe, about what might happen. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, we're back to Eddie. And then when Dylan would show up, I'd be like, yes, okay, we're going to get some stuff that I care about here. Again, I like the angle. I think it's clever in kind of going to the island to deal with all these problems that have been kind of weighted down on Eddie. But yeah, it's just not working for me. I'm going to end up giving it let's go with a 7 out of 10. It's okay. But again, it is a huge step down from Donnie's other work. That's how good he's been with all of his series. What do you score it, Kyle?
I'm right there with you, 7 out of 10. I wish I knew more of these artists' work, and I'm excited to kind of do my own research and look back and to see what they've done previously. But as far as this particular comic goes, it just doesn't do it for me.
Let's move on now to a comic I didn't know what to expect from, but I ended up loving. I thought it was fantastic. This is Star from Kelly Thompson and artist Javier Pina. And it's, again, a number one, and it spins out of Captain Marvel with a new, very conflicted character. Kyle, what did you think of this one?
Again, this is one that I sat down and read during my lunch today, and I was kind of surprised by this. I don't know much about Star. I do know about Captain Marvel, but the way that this character gets introduced is just, it's really neat. It's hard for me to go into this without spoiling anything.
We can give away some stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she seems like she's just been beaten down. She's beating herself down mentally towards the beginning of the comic, and then eventually you really get to see kind of her wild side when she encounters a certain individual and just kind of pretty much lays them flat. It's exciting. And it seems like it's getting off to a fast start.
Yeah, and this is going to be a limited series, which means, you know, it's not going to be ongoing. So it won't be, you know, you won't get maybe to 50 or 60 or whatever. But I think it is off to a promising start. And it's been, like I said, it comes from Captain Marvel. She took on Captain Marvel. She was beat down. I think she even said Captain Marvel punched a hole in her chest. Mm-hmm. And she is Ripley Ryan. She's a reporter that is now the hero Star. Well, she could very much go the other way too. She could mm-hmm. The way of villain. She has a reality stone, which they reference frequently in this story and show off some cool stuff with it. I like visually how they portray her when she's using it. And it'll be interesting to see if she ends up kind of writing her ways or going the other way and becoming maybe a new villain in the universe that kind of spins out of a comic where it really does feel like they want you to care for her. They want you to champion her. Maybe that's where it goes, but I could definitely see her having kind of a gray side to her, very much like Punisher or something like that, where maybe she's doing things right sometimes, but she's also not really held to this moral code. For this first issue, I'm going to give it a 8 out of 10. I think if you go to the comic store this week and you're looking for two new books, I would grab Thor and Star. I don't think you can go wrong there. Both go places you wouldn't expect and they're very different. What would you give this one?
I would be in the 8.5.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It really captured my attention. And you hit the nail on the head when saying, you know, she's in a gray area. I felt that, you know, there's a part of her that just kind of wants to wreak havoc. But then there's also a part of her that's fighting inside that, you know, she needs to do what's right. So I'm excited to see where the storyline goes.
I hope we get to see all of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I hope it isn't just immediately like, oh, redemption, everything's good, everybody's forgiven, and it kind of goes from there. I hope that it really does kind of go ballistic for a little bit and maybe show the edge, you know, the very edge that she goes to. Maybe she backs off from it, maybe she goes off it, but we'll see. I'm definitely coming back for the next issue. Now let's go on to Batman number 86. So this is the 86th issue of this new run, but it's a new starting point. It is what the cover art calls the Dark Knight's most dangerous story yet. Hmm. In terms of this first issue, I can tell you that's not the case. It gets off to a pretty tame start. It is interesting, though. I'm probably going to butcher the writer's name here, but it's James Tynion IV, and then longtime Batman penciler Tony S. Daniel is on this, and his artwork is outstanding. I would say him and Jim Lee really just kind of crush with the art on this series. And man, the colors, the sets, the big cityscapes, and some of the tech that they have on display in this issue is very cool. He introduces a new vehicle in this story. And as you read this, it's pretty cool because the whole way through, they don't know if this vehicle is going to work. So you're getting guidance from one of Batman's allies that maybe you don't want to take this thing out yet. Maybe you want to put it through some tests first and all that. But obviously Batman needs it right now because there are a lot of assassins in town. And he wants to deal with it quickly. You're talking about Deathstroke, Merlin, Cheshire. There's a full rogues gallery of them around. And Lucius Fox is very much like, it's up to you, Bruce. You go ahead and do it. And he does it. And the vehicle is, we'll see. A lot of times, I don't know if you're, I guess you haven't read them, Kyle. But if you listeners out there know, there was a point where he had a weird mech. That thing disappeared very quickly. The Batmobile gets redesigned all the time. The Batwing's been pretty consistent. This thing has a lot of layers. Like, this is his all-in-one vehicle where he can use it for flight, for climbing walls, and stuff like that. It's wild-looking in design. But I would say it does do enough to elicit interest in where this story is going to go next. It has some big beats in it that, and some teases for what will be a showdown that with two, I would say, well, between Batman and one of his most iconic villains is kind of what they're setting up. It happens a lot, but I kind of like the tone of this one and how they set it up. It's a little different. There's a ruthless kind of feel to the whole thing, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next with that billing of this being his most dangerous story yet. It could be hyperbole on the cover, who knows, but I give this one a solid 8 out of 10. A lot of that is the artwork, more so than the story itself. Both are very good, but the art, I really had fun just turning those pages and seeing what Tony Daniel put on for the next spread. The final book we're going to be reviewing is Amazing Spider-Man number 37, which is a standalone story. It's kind of a build-up to the next big epic in Peter Parker's life. And this issue goes a lot of places, really doesn't kind of tease what's happening until the very end. That's something you're going to see a lot in comic books, that they want you to come back for the next issue. And so they save the fireworks for the end. And this one has the return of Kindred with a new power, and he's bringing someone from the past along in a big way. And for those last few pages, it is absolutely worth reading. The story itself, Kyle, I don't know if you felt the same way. A little loose in terms of narrative, but there's some great J. Jonah Jameson stuff in there where you see he's a changed man, and then all of a sudden, well, maybe not so much. He's given an offer, and he's true to form. What did you think of this issue?
I guess loose is a good word to use. I thought it was different from the other comics. I did find more humor in this than the ones that we've read previously.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I did. And I felt like there was more of a monologue going on in Spider-Man's head throughout maybe the first half of the issue.
Yeah, yep.
And then it flipped over to Jameson and his dealings with his business dealings that he's doing in this particular issue of the comic. I'm not familiar with the enemy that is brought out at the end of the episode.
He's one of the newer ones. I would be surprised if he shows up anytime soon in any of the cartoons or movies or anything like that. But he's very popular. I would say he's one of the next to Venom's Null, who's this big threat. Probably the most popular Spider-Man villain in a decade.
Like, really?
I mean, they don't come up very often, but he's very different. You can see he controls elements that are not normal to mm-hmm. villains, especially those kind of bound to New York City. This is written, by the way, by Nick Spencer with art by Ryan Ottley. I thought the art was fantastic. The writing's mm-hmm. solid. I think he gets Peter and Spider-Man's sense of humor and knows when to shift gears. And that's what this story does. And I kind of like it. It was like the rolling rapids a little bit where you really didn't know what you were going to get on the next page.
Yeah. And Spider-Man, in this issue, he tinkers around with some, I guess, smaller enemies, it seems like, when he's flying through the city. But it really, at the end, when you see, you said Kindred?
Yes.
Is this enemy, this guy is a big bad. Like, I feel that there's going to be, for me, I haven't seen him, I feel like there's going to be some serious stuff going on with this individual.
If you're confused by him, by the way, like, we don't know everything about him as comic readers yet.
Oh, good.
So they are still building up. And I think that's part of what people really like is it just wasn't everything on his sleeve. You know, it's like you just didn't immediately know everything about this character within five pages. Like for issues, for, you know, over a year, we've been trying to figure this character out.
Okay, so I feel like I popped in at the right time then.
Yeah, you're about to get to the meat of who Kindred is here.
Yeah. I did notice one thing. In the comic. So Spider-Man has, I don't know if this is a spoiler. If this is a spoiler, I will cut this out. You just tell me. He has access to this source of power that in the comic he mentions that he has only been able to use to the potential of the 80s to 90s, but not full potential. So I'm interested in seeing whatever this power source that he has be used to its maximum
potential. I think that's just enough of a tease for it. And,
okay.
And we can move on and my score for this one is I'm gonna give it a 7.75 out of 10, and it really like picked up at the end there. Like I was fully engaged on those last few pages.
Yeah. I this is tough because Thor was my favorite this week. Star was up there, and after reading Spider-Man this morning, it's definitely right there with the top three of them. So I'm gonna have to give it an 8.
All right. Well, those are our reviews. Hopefully, we maybe helped you sway your thoughts and your buying decisions. And if you do pick up one of these based on our opinion, again, we'd love to hear what you think of it at, what is it, Kyle? The Comic Book Pod at, or just comicbookpod@gmail.com.
It is The Comic Book
Pod. Oh, there you go.
@gmail.com.
We will never get this right.
But so we're using Anchor as a podcast service. So this is the service that we will upload our podcast to. It'll distribute on Apple as well and all the major podcasting outlets. But if you go to our Anchor website also, you can leave us a voice message.
Wow. And we could maybe even play that.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
All right. Well, let's move on to next week's books. So for January 15th, 2020, here's what you can be looking forward to. We're not going to read everything, by the way. We're going to give you the kind of what we think are going to be the highlights, maybe the books that we might review so that maybe you go in before we do, since, you know, after next Wednesday, we're not going to be posting the podcast that day. It'll be on the next weekend again. But if you read along, you can hear our reviews of what you just read then. So let's start with Marvel Comics. This is, I'm going to say the big comic of the week is Iron Man 2020, number 1 of 6. So that means it's a limited series. There'll just be 6 issues. That's from Dan Slott. Kind of setting up the year. If you read Incoming, it was a standalone issue that came out about a month ago that set up everything that's happening in 2020. I would not recommend reading that book. It was expensive. I think it was like $7.99, and it was, I don't know, it wasn't that interesting. It just gave you like 2 pages per comic book bouncing through all the different series that are going to be coming in the future. But one of the most interesting parts was Iron Man 2020, which Arno Stark is still Iron Man. So yes, there's a different identity in the Iron Man suit. Hmm. And there is a robot rebellion going on, and they are fighting for, I kid you not, Kyle, robot rights.
Interesting.
And, you know, Iron Man is, you know, he deals in a lot of robotics and artificial intelligence, and he is right there. So we're excited to see where this one goes. That one's going to be 32 pages, rated teen, and it's going to be $4.99. So that is our kind of forward-looking pick of the week. Hopefully it delivers or is at least interesting to read. And that's going to have, oh my goodness, it's going to have like 10 different variant covers.
I'm looking at that right now.
That looks neat.
Yeah,
I think it'll be cool. And then, go ahead.
Can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you mentioned the previous Iron Man comic. I forget which one you said it was, but you said it cost $7.99.
Incoming. Yeah, that was just a Marvel Comics one called Incoming.
Okay.
And that was just kind of a comic that would set up the whole year, teasing what's coming in 2020, and it would just give you like 2 pages from Fantastic Four, what's going on in their world, 2 pages from the upcoming Wolverine, you know. And they tried to sew it all into one narrative arc, and I just was like, this is so scattershot.
Like, yeah.
But there'd be little elements in it that were interesting, but for the price, it doesn't really feel like you're getting a real story or a real comic. You're just reading like a preview book.
So I'm new to this. What does a normal price for a comic book go for? Like that month's issue?
Yeah, usually $3.99 or $4.99, depending if you're Marvel, DC. If it's like a 40-page thing, you might be paying $5.99. Or if it gets way beyond that, you could get up to $9.99.
Wow.
Yeah, they're expensive. That's what we're doing this podcast for, to help people out.
Yeah, that is an expensive hobby.
It is. It didn't used to be. When I was growing up, it was 50 cents and 75 cents. I guess back then, though, you know, when you're a kid with no income, you know, mowing the lawn, that allowance would mm-hmm. maybe get you 2 books. But that was enough. And so continuing with Marvel, we have Avengers 29 coming out. We won't be looking at that one since we're kind of in the middle of a story. Incredible Hulk 180, same thing. We won't be looking at that. Jessica Jones' Blind Spot, we'll be taking a look at that. That's a new number one, which I'm excited about, as is Marvel Tales Ravencroft, that also has kind of a companion story with Runes of Ravencroft, Sabretooth number one. So I think we'll be getting both of those to look at, Kyle.
Okay.
And that's like, Ravencroft is kind of like Marvel's Arkham a little bit. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen there. If you're a fan of the Spider-Man video game and the comic verse that Marvel's put together, there's Marvel's Spider-Man, The Black Cat Strikes, number one. And that's the game version of Black Cat, and Spidey's in that as well. We're not going to look at that one either, but that one at least sounds interesting. I'm a big fan of the game, and I thought the comics have been pretty good so far.
Well, hold on. So there's comics based off the video games.
Yeah, so the game is based off a comic, and now there's comics based off the video game.
That's interesting. Based on the comic. I didn't know that.
Yep. This is kind of an interesting thing. There's Venom, The End. It's meant to be the very last Venom story ever. That's what it's designed to be. Clever idea. Obviously, you know, Marvel will never get to that final mm-hmm. Venom story. But if you want to kind of pretend like maybe this is what would happen,
mm-hmm.
that will be out there as well. DC Comics does not have a lot of jumping on points again. They have been knee-deep in a lot of story arcs and making it a little difficult. So this episode was very Marvel-heavy, and I anticipate the next one will also be very Marvel-heavy. DC has Aquaman number 56. I love Aquaman. That's a great series. We have Flash 86. And there is a Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant number one. I will be looking at that. We might give that a shot because mm-hmm. I've always been curious about these giant issues. They used to be like Walmart exclusives, and they'd have new stories in them. But it would be a collection of some of the best comic books out there for, you know, said hero, if it's Batman, Superman, or Justice League, you name it. Kind of a cool thing for Walmart shoppers.
What is a giant issue?
It's huge. It's, I don't know, 100 plus pages.
Oh, okay.
It's got
a... Oh, okay, you know, so it is a giant issue.
Yeah, it's not
yeah.
stapled. It's, you know, it has a spine.
Nice.
Or a saddle stitch. There's Justice League Odyssey. That's been a fun series. Again, we won't look at that. This one we might. Nightwing 68 from Dan Jurgens. He's been going through an identity crisis, and it sounds like this issue might kind of give us an answer, and it sounds like it might be a good jumping on point for moving forward. So that might be the DC one we look at this week.
Anything Batman related, just give it my way.
And Dan Jurgens, by the way, will be on a future episode. He has pledged his support to the show and is excited to be on, and hopefully in the next couple weeks we'll have an interview with him.
That is awesome.
And if you're into IDW stuff, there's some new DuckTales stuff. There is Gears of War, Glow, yes, based on the Netflix series. That is in issue 3 of 4. And as far as jumping on points, Rising Sun, number 1, and then ROM, Dire Wraiths, number 1. And that is kind of our roundup for next week's comics. If you want to hear more, if you want us to go deeper into stuff like Image or Valiant or anything like that, I have the releases lists here right now. I'm looking at them. I'm not seeing anything that jumps out this week. But if you do want us to go into those series and you have some particular ones that you've been interested in, again, leave us a message and we'll take a look at all that stuff. Let's move on to our final segment, and that is something you know very well, Kyle.
Okay.
Movies.
Let's do it.
All right, so we're, what, 20 movies into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We've just finished with Endgame, which is one of the biggest epics they've done. It is meant to be an ending. We even have some characters that are no longer with us anymore. I think we can start spoiling stuff here. I think every comic fan has seen these. So we don't have Captain America. We don't have Iron Man. Kyle, what do you want from the future of these films? Where do you hope they go as someone who isn't really vested in these kind of classical stories that they're based on?
I sat and I've thought about this for the last couple of days, and I guess we have never really had a good Hulk movie.
Okay. So you weren't a fan of the Edward Norton film?
I like the Edward Norton film, but I would love if we had a MCU film that had Mark Ruffalo and it focused on him. And I think we kind of got that with Ragnarok, but that was based on Thor. There was a lot of Hulk in that
and
movie.
And it was Hulk in a very strange place. Like Hulk, right. Hulk had a penthouse in that.
Right. I was hoping that it would give us some more nods to like Planet Hulk. I wouldn't even mind if we got a standalone Planet Hulk movie. Just something kind of offshot from everything else.
Him staying in the arena, kind of doing that stuff?
Or, yeah.
You know, there was a story called World War Hulk, where he, you know, after Planet Hulk, after the Fantastic Four sent him into the universe, he was like, came back to Earth, and he was angry. Like, and he's like, I'm going to destroy New York City. You basically got a day to get out of here. And obviously, you know, the heroes are like, nope, that's not going to happen. So they threw down in this epic fight. We've seen Hulk angry at other Avengers. We've seen Hulk angry at Loki especially. But so you would like to see him either just focused on as a hero doing his own thing, or I guess what I'm saying is I think spinning him into a villain, that's something that happens a lot in the comics because he can't really control it. It's different than there being, you know, the bad guy that's, you know, intent on destroying the world. This is just a guy that can't control his inner demons.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a great take on Hulk as well. And just something focused on him. I feel like that we have not got the proper Mark Ruffalo Hulk solo film. Just something with him. Because I think he does a good job playing Hulk, and I feel like he does a great job playing Bruce Banner as well.
And I feel like this is something your idea maybe needed to happen 5 years ago, seven years ago. He's getting older.
Yeah.
You know, you want him in his prime. You know, you could do a old man Hulk story, kind of, you know, like there's old man Logan. Logan was very much that, the movie. You could have kind of this final chapter of Hulk, maybe. Who knows where he's going to slot into the MCU moving forward? Are they going to, you know, there's a lot of Hulk-like figures in the Marvel comic universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could even introduce Red Hulk and all that nonsense.
Gray Hulk and all them,
You know, really shake things up. For me, what I want to see is they started dabbling a little on the fringes with Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought both of those were more so Guardians of the Galaxy, but fine films, right? Like, and I think people really latched onto these heroes that you've never really heard before. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of that space left in the Marvel cinematic or in the Marvel comic universe to be explored. You know, they're going into Inhumans, which I think will, that's going to be a really tricky one. Like, I thought Guardians would be really hard, but Inhumans itself, I think, is going to be one of their most challenging efforts yet in delivering a story that kind of fits into that framework that they've established so far. Mm-hmm. And they can't, that's one thing they can't move away from. Like, they need to keep that kind of emotional but comedic balance that they've knocked out of the park through 20 consecutive, 21, yeah. I don't know how many there are, consecutive films.
It's interesting because I feel like when Endgame came, did its thing, I felt complete. I felt like
maybe yeah, we yeah. I mean, it felt like Marvel the end, movies. Didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But to see them creating more films, I mean, Black Widow comes out what in May, I think.
Very soon. Is it March, May, something like that? Yeah.
The first half of this year, and sitting in theaters and watching that trailer, just my jaw was dropped. Like, they can continue this whole superhero, this whole Marvel, the MCU thing, and continue to knock it out of the park. I didn't think anything could get better than Endgame. Endgame was, I loved Endgame, but I think they're going to do it.
And I think they could go another 10 movies just going mm-hmm. into kind of their darker corners where you have Daredevil, Elektra, Punisher, mm-hmm. Ghost Rider. Like, I know they kind of gave that stuff for Netflix, and Daredevil was fine. Their Kingpin was great. Don't get me wrong. But as a whole, if I look at all those series as a whole, it's like, just pretend that stuff wasn't a part of the cinematic universe like you said it was. Mm-hmm. Redo it. Maybe you bring some of those actors back, but just say, you know, that was kind of a what if thing. What if yeah. what if Marvel existed on Netflix? That's what you yeah. can say.
Yeah, I feel like they tried to do that.
And, you know, we're getting Moon Knight, you know, and with Disney Plus, we're starting to see they can dabble a little bit with some of the smaller properties that they might mm-hmm. not think are going to bring in, you know, 500 million worldwide that might just be sufficient in the streaming verse. And I think that's cool as long as they sew it all together. And that was the problem they ran into to the Netflix stuff was everybody wanted to see those characters in Endgame and they were just like, it's not the same flavor. And that was the right call, by the way, as disappointing as it was to hear that the time you spent watching, thinking that these characters might be somewhere else, they made the right call, that it just didn't feel like the same universe.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And can I just say, it is such a pleasure having Disney Plus, having all the old cartoons on there. The old X-Men, the old Spider-Man, just being able to go and binge watch that stuff. And
Gargoyles. Oh my God, I love that show. And characters I'd like to see.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Woman. Jessica Drew, that's Spider-Woman. Adam Warlock, who they teased at the end of Guardians 2. He's such a pivotal figure if they do go back into the Infinity Stones. Maybe his time has passed. Maybe you don't need to bring him back now. Maybe we don't want to hear about these dumb rocks anymore. And then this, I don't know how they would ever do it. I really don't know if it's even feasible, but a figure like Galactus, I would adore a story like that, and it'd be so silly seeing a giant man floating through space and eating planets, but that captured our imagination as comic readers, and I just think it would be such a cool thing for the silver screen. And they've kind of tried to get Galactus involved. I think it was the second Fantastic Four movie, Rise of the Silver Surfer,
mm-hmm.
and they turned him into like a storm cloud or something in space, mm-hmm. and it's like, you gotta have the purple and blue. You just need a giant man in space. Sorry, but that's who he is. That's why we like him. But if they could pull that off, I think it would be awesome.
Do you think that this second, be the second phase, but this next phase of Marvel movies, do you think that they could make the big bad Galactus?
I think they could get him involved with the Eternals and giant celestial beings.
Mm-hmm.
They could kind of weave him in and get Silver Surfer on screen. I know they want to go there. Fantastic Four, we know, is coming in some capacity. You know, he ties right in with that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I think maybe not the big, big bad, maybe for a movie or two.
Mm-hmm.
Develop threat, one movie, show it the next one. I don't know where they go with the next big threat. If they do Secret Wars kind of stuff, or, you know, kind of Identity Crisis stuff. They've really, you know, they got Civil War out of the way very quickly, Infinity Gauntlet out of the way. They might hold true to those kind of classic stories, kind of informing where they might be going. I kind of like that. You know, as a comic reader, you feel like these stories you never thought you'd see come to life in a different way now are the biggest movies of all time. It's so cool to see that happen.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that for you, especially just because of your history with comics, seeing that as a kid. Now you're actually seeing this as a cinematic event.
But selfishly, I kind of want it both ways, where I want that because mm-hmm. I think it's cool and it justifies, you know, all this reading and the work all these comic artists did back in the day. But I also want new stories, right? Like I want to be surprised as like you are when you go to the theater. I want something new. Like I give me new characters. You don't have to keep plucking from the comic books. Show me some new characters and then maybe make comic books about them. Agent Coulson is a good example of that kind of, right? Like he really was born on the screen and mm-hmm. eventually was involved in the comics. I think he might be gone now, but I don't know. Dabble like that. I think there's room for that. So I'm optimistic that they can keep this streak going. A little concerned that the director of the second Doctor Strange movie dropped off. But, you know,
I didn't know that.
Creative differences happen all the time. You're going to say something?
No, I said I didn't realize that he dropped off.
Yeah, and they were saying that was going to be kind of the horror movie or horror themes. It's not going to be like rated R or anything, but it's right. going to have some horror vibes to it, which I thought was cool, especially if you're getting into the kind of the different weird realms. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's Cthulhu-like things that you can get into, which would be neat.
Recently, this past week, I've read that this next Doctor Strange is the most intriguing Marvel film yet.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
Maybe it's just because they lost their director, and now they're just like, well,
what do we do
now?
We
don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It's coming. Whether you like it or not, it's coming.
Yeah,
I don't know how. But
Doctor Strange staring right back at you in the theater just for a solid hour and a half. Yeah.
But we'd love to hear your thoughts, you, the listeners' thoughts, on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There's a billion different ideas of where this thing should go. I like Kyle's idea, give Hulk his due. Me, I just want it all. I really mm-hmm. do. I want my old comics to come onto the silver screen, and then I want to be surprised too. If you got to this point in the episode, thank you so much for listening. Like seriously, like, and let us know, give us honest feedback of what you think, what we can improve, what worked, what didn't, and we'll see you again very shortly in the second episode.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. This is something new for me. If you want to do us a huge favor, check us out on Twitter at The Comic Book Podcast, and check us out on Facebook at The Comic Book Podcast as well. You can email us at thecomicbookpodcast@gmail.com. And again, also, if you're listening to us on Anchor, there's a send voice message button that you can click on right now. You can send us your thoughts on the episode. If you have a question for us, you can send us your question. And when we get the chance, maybe we'll do a listener's episode and play your message and answer your questions for you. But again, thank you very much.